You are Locked On Knicks, your daily podcast on the New York Knicks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Welcome, everybody, to Locked On Knicks, the podcast that's in the 99th percentile of foisting. I'm your host, James Marcida, a.k.a. Def Jam Gundy, a.k.a. Derek Rose Stradamus. I immediately take that one back, I'm sorry. And this is episode 210. On today's show, the Knicks are in a three-way tie for fifth place in the Eastern Conference, currently sitting at 8-6, way better than most people thought heading into the season. Is this real? We're going to talk about it. We're also going to preview Friday's game against the Raptors. One quick update before we get started. I was in the UK. Now I'm in Los Angeles visiting my family for Thanksgiving. I made all these plans before I knew I was going to be hosting this podcast. Well, not the UK thing. That was my work screwing me over. But I made this LA plan. I hardly ever travel. Of course, then I get a daily podcast and I'm all over the place. First world concerns. I'm sorry for bitching about it. Point being, schedule's going to be a little bit different through the end of next week because I'm here through next Friday. I'm going to do these podcasts first thing in the morning, Los Angeles time. So they're going to come out around noon every day. Then I'll go back to the regular schedule. I know this isn't ideal, but I'm doing what I can to get you guys the pods, okay? So eventually when I'm back in New York, I'm going to be recording them at nighttime, you know, Eastern time. But for now, they'll come out around noon Eastern time through next Friday. Sorry for the inconvenience, but as the great philosopher Jeff Goldblum once said, life finds a way. Enough about this. Let's start the show.
Yes!
As of the recording of this podcast, the Knicks are currently 8-6 and in a three-way tie for fifth place in the Eastern Conference. They're doing way better than most pundits thought they could ever possibly do. Not me. I thought this was best-case scenario. We've talked about that before. Didn't guarantee it, but I thought it was within the realm of possibility if Kristaps took his leap. I thought the ball might move better without Melo. Thought the defense might be a little crisper without Melo. But when a team starts out off hot like this, the natural, and they weren't expected to, the natural question is this real? What are we seeing? So let's take stock of whether or not this is real. The first thing I would like to point to in the yes column, yes, this is real, is the Knicks efficiency differential. That's points scored per 100 possessions minus points allowed per 100 possessions. All these stats I'm going to give you during this segment, by the way, come from cleaningtheglass.com. So they take out garbage time and end of quarter heaves. They may be slightly different than some of the stats you see on other sites, but they're more or less in line with what you'll be familiar with. So looking at the Knicks' efficiency differential, they are plus 1.4. So every 100 possessions, they're scoring 1.4 points more than their opponent. Teams with this point differential playing this many games, that's 14, are expected to win, drumroll please, 8 games. And the Knicks are currently 8-6. So with the points they've been scoring, they're expected, and the points they've been giving up, they're expected to win about this many games. They're not overperforming the product that you've seen on the court, as opposed to someone like Minnesota, which has a very good record right now, but with their point differential, they are actually winning about 3 games more than they'd be expected to at this point in the season. The Knicks, however, are right in line with where they should be based on how they've been playing. Let's take a look at their offense specifically. The Knicks, shockingly, are currently 5th in the league in offense, again, from cleaningtheglass.com, minus garbage time. They're scoring 110.3 points per 100 possessions. Is this sustainable? Let's take a look at a couple of factors within that. The Knicks are currently 8th in the league in effective field goal percentage. That's the one that takes into account that three-pointers are worth 50% more than two-pointers. And they're currently shooting 53.7%. That's their effective field goal percentage. I'm going to say this is sustainable, and I'll tell you why. Kristaps, Courtney Lee, and Doug McDermott are all shooting 40% or more from three. And all three of those guys have a history of being excellent three-point shooters. I guess Kristaps, you could say, has less of a track record than the other two. But Doug McDermott is a dead-eye shooter. Courtney Lee, dead-eye shooter. He's got that weird corkscrew release. I don't understand how it gets in. But he's routinely among the lead leaders in three-point shooters. He should shoot more of them. But talking about Kristaps, is there anyone alive who doesn't think he has an absolutely gorgeous shot, an absolutely feathery touch? So he's above 40% for the first time in his career, but there's no reason why he can't keep that up and up it. Why not? He's a superstar, right? Lance Thomas, he's a little high. He's up over 45% right now from three, but we've seen him do this before. He is capable when healthy, especially if he picks his spots. And right now, he's only shooting 1 3 per game. He's shooting them when he's wide open. So you could say Lance Thomas not going to keep that up, but he's not factoring too much into these numbers anyway because he's being very judicious with his chucking. Meanwhile, Tim Hardaway Jr. is shooting only 30.9% from downtown. Now, he's not a tremendous three-point shooter so far in his career, but he is thoroughly capable of shooting 35%, let's say, or better. So I expect those numbers to go up, even if some of these other guys come down a little bit. Frank Ntilikina and Damian Dotson are both shooting in the 20s from three. I mean, I think Frank's shot is pretty pure, and with confidence, I expect that number to go up. He's getting a lot of minutes, so this could actually help their effective field goal percentage, because it's not going to get any lower. Dotson doesn't get that many minutes yet, but I know his shot is pure. With minutes and confidence, that number is going up. So these are their snipers, right? But then the guys down low talk about Enes Kanter. Dude never misses a shot. I mean, he's shooting 65% from two right now. That's bound to come down a little, but he's been in the 75th percentile or higher among shooting for bigs his entire career. And he's routinely over 55% from two, which is the only place he shoots from. And again, the Knicks have a 53.7% effective field goal percentage. So even if Enes Kanter comes down a little bit in that, he's still going to be above what they are right now. And furthermore, they're not even shooting that many threes. They're 16th in percentage from downtown, but they're 24th in three-point frequency. So they're shooting them like average as a team, but below average in terms of frequency. If they figure out how to get more good looks from downtown, that's only going to help their effective field goal percentage. And they're shooting like garbage from the corner three. They're 25th in the league at 34.5% from the corners. And that number is absolutely going to go up. I want to give you guys more reasons why the Knicks' hot start is real. And then I want to preview the Toronto Raptors game on Friday. But first, just want to let you guys know that you're listening to Locked On Knicks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you like what you see and what you hear, head on over to iTunes, rate us 5 stars. We would greatly appreciate it. Locked On Knicks. All right, let's talk about another reason why this Knicks hot start is real. The Knicks are currently first in the league in offensive rebounding percentage. Is that sustainable? I say yes, absolutely. They're rebounding 30.6% of their missed shots right now. And a big part of that is that Kanter is a beast. He's rebounding 16.8% of his team's missed shots when he's on the court. That's the number one mark in the league. And he has a history of this. This is part of who Enes Kanter is. He's got problems defensively, but offensively, he's super efficient, and he's a beast on the boards. I see no reason why this won't continue. He's got the track history. Kyle O'Quinn is playing like an absolute beast on the offensive boards. He's rebounding 12.7% of his team's missed shots while he's on the court. And that's in the 88th percentile among bigs in the league. And when you watch Kyle O'Quinn play, he's playing with motor. He's playing with high energy. There's no reason to think he can't keep that up. Lance Thomas, categorized as a forward, is offensively rebounding extremely well for a forward. He's in the 91st percentile right now. It's been a couple of years, but he's had similar marks in Oklahoma City and New Orleans. So he has done this before. He's rebounded very well for his position in the past. Frank, Doug, and Timmy are all rebounding very well for their positions. Each of them 60th percentile or more. So their shooting is a big part of their offensive prowess so far this year, and so is their offensive rebounding. They're getting a ton of points off putbacks. They're getting a ton of second chances, and I think that can continue, especially in a league where everyone's going smaller. One of the advantages to going bigger is that you can grab more boards. The Knicks have been taking advantage. They have too many centers, but they're at least making the most out of it. I think that's sustainable. Another reason why I think their offensive explosion, it's getting more grandiose as we go on, is actually their turnovers. Let me tell you why. The Knicks have not been good in this regard. They're currently 20th in the league in turnovers, turning the ball over 16% of the time. But they started dead last, so they're creeping up. And they, you know, there's been some continuity from last year to this year, but they do have a lot of new players, and as they get more comfortable with each other, I expect this to only improve. And if this continues to improve, and we have no reason to think that it won't, you know, unless Kyle O'Quinn starts like feeling himself too much and doing behind-the-back passes every time down the court, then the offense is going to get a boost because they're not throwing away possessions. Another reason why I think that this offensive explosion is sustainable is their free throw rate. Let's talk about this. They're currently 18th in the league in free throw rate. They make 19.4 free throws per 100 shot attempts. So not that great, below average. But as Frank gets more aggressive and Tim continues to trend in this direction, that overall number could absolutely improve. Right now, Frank, we've talked about this, he's only hitting 3.2 free throws per 100 shot attempts. That's in the 10th percentile among point guards. Very bad. I'm not concerned about this at all, but like, you know, objectively speaking, where he stands right now in the point guard hierarchy, he is not getting to the line. But we already saw this in the fourth quarter the other day. He was being a lot more aggressive. When he starts driving more, they're going to have trouble with his body. To put it weirdly, you know, he's 6'5" and growing. I actually have a dream that Frank Ntilikina grows like 2 more inches. I'm not sure if it's going to happen, but I feel like it could. He's 19. But when he starts getting more aggressive, they're going to have problems with him, with his long-ass arms. They're going to be hacking at him. He's going to get a lot more free throws. Plus, I don't know if you guys heard this, but Kristaps is a beast now. So anything that they do well in terms of free throw rate, a lot of that is Kristaps getting fouled left and right. And I absolutely expect him to be able to sustain that. So those are a couple of reasons why I think their hot offensive start is real and why they can sustain it. But offense is only one side of the ball. So let's talk about their defense and see if there's anything going on here to help us figure out whether or not, you know, this 8-6 record is legit, if they can keep playing 500 or a little bit above basketball. Right now, the Knicks are 23rd in the league in efficiency on defense. They're giving up 108.7 points per 100 possessions. So they're still playing like very dookie booty defense, you know, overall on the season. So this could be discouraging, but I look at it like this. They're not wildly overperforming. If the Knicks right now were like the 5th ranked defense, you and I know, we know they're defenders, right? They're not incredible defenders, and we'd be like, all right, well, that's going to come down. But their numbers don't show them as a good defensive team. So I think that that can actually improve as A, Frank gets more minutes, you know, over Jarrett Jack, who is a sieve on defense, you know. As KP gets more minutes at center over Enes Kanter, like we saw in the fourth quarter against the Jazz, I think that could improve their defense. I think as they get more familiar with each other and their schemes and get better at switching, that could improve their defense. They're still packing the paint way too much, in my opinion, and leaving three-point shooters wide open. If Hornacek is worth his salary, I think he's going to get them working on that, and they're going to improve. Right now, the Knicks are 15th in the league in opponents' effective field goal percentage. They're allowing opponents to shoot 52.2% overall. And so their defensive numbers, you know, they're 23rd in terms of points given up, but they're like in the middle of the pack in terms of the shots they force opponents into. And I think that's a sign of feistiness. Part of that is that there's excellent rim protection from Porzingis and O'Quinn. They're doing a really good job down there. I think that's sustainable. Right now, they are only 23rd in the league in opponents' turnover percentage. They're not forcing a ton of turnovers. They're forcing turnovers on 14.7% of opponents' plays. But as Frank gets more minutes, I think that's going to go up. The dude is killing it in steals and deflections. So they're not wildly overperforming on defense. I think they're going to improve. I think they're doing some things at a good rate that could, you know, they could hold up. The Knicks, 8-6. Are they real? Is this legitimate? I think absolutely. Yes, it is. I want to tell you guys about Friday's game at Toronto against the Raptors. First, I just want to remind you that you're listening to Locked On Knicks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you like what you hear, but you like other teams besides the Knicks, or you like football, check out one of our sister podcasts. We've got a podcast for every NBA team and every NFL team. They're all great. They come highly recommended from me. Check them out. Locked On Podcast Network. So Friday night, the Knicks play the Toronto Raptors. And this is a test, a big test to be sure. Let's talk about Toronto a little bit. They're currently 8th in efficiency differential at plus 4.2 points per 100 possessions. So breaking that down a little bit, Kyle Lowry, I mean, I think he's going to eat Jarrett Jack up on D, right? Jack can't guard Kyle Lowry. So it's a question of how many minutes they can squeeze out of him without being a total disaster, helping him out with rotations before Frank comes in and locks him up. I really want to see Frank. I want to see Frank against every top point guard in the league, but I'm interested to see how he does against Lowry, who's more of a bulldog, big dude. Frank's not all the way thick yet, although he's deceptively strong. DeMar DeRozan is going to be a tough defensive assignment, and it will be interesting to see how Timmy does against him. I think he's going to want to prove himself against DeRozan, so just be on the lookout for Tim forcing shots. Hopefully he doesn't. He's been really good about that, actually, not forcing shots, minus his stupid heat check threes. He has a couple too many heat check threes per game for my liking, but something to look out for. You know, he's got the contract, Tim. People have been giving him shit. DeRozan's unquestionably one of the better shooting guards in the Eastern Conference, so I think he's going to want to measure up to him. Let's see how he handles it. We talked about Toronto's overall efficiency differential, their 8th. Part of that is because their offense has been outstanding. They're 3rd in offensive efficiency right now. They're scoring 111.2 points per 100 possessions. They're 3rd in effective field goal rate, shooting 55.1%. Again, that's factoring in threes being worth more than twos. The Knicks struggle against the 3. We know this, right? They leave a lot of 3-point shooters open. And Toronto right now is 7th in 3-point frequency. They take a lot of threes. However, they're only 20th in 3-point accuracy, shooting just 35%. Now, you could say they're due to like up that percentage a little bit, but they've got DeMar DeRozan, who's got a really high usage rate, and he is not a good 3-point shooter. So that bears watching. The Knicks could possibly do okay against this team. They struggle against teams who shoot the three well. Toronto right now is not shooting the three well. They could snap out of it. It's early, but so far, not so great. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Toronto, much like the Knicks, has been struggling defensively. You know, not maybe massively, but they're 18th in defensive efficiency. They're allowing 107.1 points per 100 possessions. They let their opponent shoot a good percentage. They're only 20th in the league in opponents' effective field goal percentage. They are, however, good at forcing turnovers. 16.6% of opponents' possessions end in turnovers. That's 6th in the league. So an area of concern, to be sure. However, they're fouling a ton. They're giving up 22 made free throws per 100 opponent shot attempts. That's the 24th mark in the league. So the Knicks should attack. Tim Hardaway should attack. Frank Ntilikina should attack. And interestingly, Toronto is 19th in allowing offensive rebounds. So the Knicks could eat them up there. Now, we haven't talked about the unicorn in the room. Kristaps Porzingis. Who's going to guard Kristaps for Toronto? I think he's due for another beasting. He's had a couple of like just okay games for him, still scoring more than 20 points, getting 8 rebounds, 2 blocks. But he's due for another one of these MVP-type games, and this might be it. I'm not too scared of Ibaka at this point. Like, who on the Raptors is going to guard him? I actually asked the Locked On Raptors about this, and they said, and I quote, I tweeted at them. I said, do you guys have anyone who can check Kristaps? And they said, probably not. Although Norm did some hilarious but kind of good switching onto him last year. Poeltl and Siakam are a pretty good defensive front court. They're probably the best shot they have. Can't imagine Serge and Jonas will be great. So the Locked On Raptors podcast is not too confident about who's going to guard Kristaps. And I think he could go off. Let's talk about the Raptors' recent history. How are they doing right now? They just finished a 3-game road trip and will be back home after one day off. So they'll be feeling good. They'll be rested. They started off that road trip with a heartbreaker loss to the Celtics, who just beat the Warriors, so one of the best teams in the league. Then they beat our arch nemesis, the Houston Rockets, and Mike D'Antoni, his unsportsmanlike ass. Then they beat New Orleans, and they've been rampaging on offense. They scored 125 against New Orleans and 129 against Houston. Their upcoming schedule after the Knicks, they've got the Wizards on Sunday. So they could possibly overlook the Knicks, you know? They're coming in ahead of a matchup with a more legit Eastern Conference rival for them in their recent history. They're playing well. I wouldn't be shocked if they beat the Knicks, but here's my predictions. My prediction. The Kristaps factor is going to be what decides this game. KP comes up huge, then I think the Knicks have a really good shot at it. I think the Raps can't keep the Knicks off the boards in this one. I think they might struggle to hit threes. I think Frank's going to help shut down Lowry in the fourth for a nail-biter in a high-scoring victory, with both teams doing pretty well on the offensive end, and the Knicks just squeaking out ahead. Maybe Kristaps hits his first game winner. Huh? Let's predict that. First game winner for Kristaps. The Knicks win. The Knicks win. All right. That's it for me. Thank you guys for listening to Locked On Knicks. Love you guys. We'll be back tomorrow with another episode of the only Knicks podcast that matters. Come on. All those other guys are my sons. You know it. Let them know. Let them know, too. If you know it, let them know that they're my sons. All right? Talk to you soon. Peace.